then another comment about some who were here this morning. First, may I remind all of us who were here early when we established the rule that once or twice we have violated one very important rule, and the chair shall become more dictatorial with it. That is enforcing it. That one, first one, is that persons who are attending and who speak are not to be attacked personally, though you may ask questions, though you may speak to the agency's position, etc., but the person themselves are not to be attacked personally. A couple of times, as we recap later, the chair was not strict enough in enforcing it, got out of hand. I have some prodders up here now, and they will not let me allow you to do that anymore. So we're going to be strict with that. We will insist upon, in other words, talking to the issues or raising the questions. You may get mad at anyone you wish. You may be as emotional as you wish it, if you feel that way at that moment. That is not what I'm saying, that you should not express yourself. I'm saying the attack cannot be personal. And persons representing institutions or agencies, etc., organizations, are speaking as individuals, and as such are not to be attacked. They may put their language in whatever words they wish, but they are not to be attacked personally. The second rule is that if we're going to put more dio in the laws, it means that more people have to get a chance to react, as opposed to the mono that we talked about the last time. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue, it's a conversation, it's a discussion, as opposed to one or two people talking too much, as opposed to lectures. Let's see if we can get it back into reactions and double reactions and so forth. And finally, the rule that became the center of the controversy the last time will again be spelled out today, because we have some reports to make on that. First, that here in this dialogue, one is able to express himself freely without feeling that reprisals will be taken against him. I will report on what has been done about it shortly. But we must maintain that atmosphere and continue to operate under that rule. So if we obey these three rules that we have set, I think we'll be able to move it on and get on to some of the specifics and get more out of the meeting. Now for the minute. Because the machine broke down, immediately after the meeting the last time, the machine broke down, we have another one now, and that one has been repaired. But the tape recorder broke down. Even the city's machines, you see, sometimes break down. The machine broke down and it was not functional for a long time until this week again. So we do not have the minute, but we will take time out and recap some of the things covered, so that if there are any items there that we should again take up in addition to those on the agenda, we'll be able to do so from recall from our memory.
Carol?
Yes.
One of the items that came up we're discussing was the attendance here and trying to keep it with the town hall dialogue instead of the big open conference room where somebody would have to sit up someplace and talk down to somebody else, which would lose the effect of the dialogue. I think one of the things that we've gotten away from is that we had asked that those persons who were in city positions who were able to affect change would be the persons we'd like to address the dialogue to, and I see that we're completely getting away from that, and otherwise those people are here. But in addition, we have individuals who are just, you might say, interested. Well, this is all fine and well and good for those who are just interested, and I'm very happy, but if you live in La Jolla and or Pacific Beach and you're concerned about the problem, that's all fine too, but I don't think the dialogue here is room for this type of concern. I just don't think we have enough room. I mean, the space is not adequate to really accomplish this. So as different people come in, we're really not in a position to affect the change. In other words, I wouldn't like to go out on the sidewalk and talk to a kid in La Jolla and tell him that I'm being discriminated against and I got a problem, because that kid can't do anything about it. So I'm concerned about those people being here who can't affect change in city administration and in city government in any capacity.
that they be here, and that the others, I wish that they would take this in consideration to the minorities who have something to present, so that they may make room for those, you know, who can affect change, and let them be here.
All right, let's see if we can open it up to what was discussed in terms of attendance. Glenn?
My recollection was that the one of the things that the agenda committee was going to do was to come up with some recommendations of dealing with two legitimate problems. The first problem is the dialogue atmosphere which we have begun, which we want to maintain, which has been, I think, very helpful to everyone. And one of the ways that that might be maintained is that we have name tags and the seats are reserved. That is, that the people who are who began the dialogue and who we considered as the participants, those be designated seats. Whatever seats are left over after that's been done would be open to the public. And if there is an overflow, we can have them sit in another room or wherever it is, but that we can maintain face-to-face direct contact and atmosphere of a dialogue. The second is that it seems to me that the one day when we did move into the chambers, because we had a delegation which was larger than the room could hold and whose concerns were legitimate, as a matter of fact, for many it was their first experience of being downtown, being where the officials are. And it seems to me that that opened up the suggestion or possibility that there may be some place for some kind of town hall meeting in which various segments of the community can meet with various of their representatives, whether it's their councilman or whether it's their supervisor, whether it's some other city official with sanitation or some such thing, that we create that kind of thing as a second vehicle for people who want to get those concerns, because that is a different atmosphere and it doesn't require many of the people who are here to accomplish that.
Yes, if for those who are going to participate in this discussion, it's a dilemma. How do you maintain both the atmosphere of the dialogue here and still provide for those who are not officially the dialoguers, the invited ones? And what you heard was a recap of the conversation, the discussion from George and Glenn that the agenda committee engaged in. I think then that we can handle it tentatively in the manner that we discussed, and Phil might indicate how we had intended to handle it today and how we will handle it hereafter until some other kind of discussion is held and other ideas are brought up. Phil, would you tell them?
Well, in line with the wishes of the agenda committee then, for the next meeting, what Allison and George had mentioned then, would be a notification that for the next meeting then, nameplates, name tags, what have you, will be assigned at each place here around the dialogue table, and then any leftovers, of course, can fill in what they want. So at the next meeting then, there will be a nameplate in front of each place. Carol?
Yes. I wanted to make this clear to those who are here that there are many minorities who have expressed themselves to say, well, I should be a part of the dialogue too. My statement or comment was not to exclude any minority person who feel that they have something to say to those officials who can affect the change. I'm speaking directly to the white community who cannot affect change, in essence, of your presence being here, is that you're really handicapped in this situation in which we're trying to do.
Well,
now, I don't mean by country, but I don't mean that you can say something that might help someone. I mean, from a standpoint of the police department, you can't change it. It takes the chief or the city manager's office. He has to be here, or the city attorney's office. I'm not speaking of the little lady in La Jolla, because I don't think she can affect that much change in my life.
You're picking on La Jolla all the time.
I hope this is clear, because I certainly do not mean the names will be set up and only those minorities who have been invited can come, because you see, I definitely don't want to get in a position of saying you should be excluded, I speak for you, because I think minorities should speak for themselves.
I think then, again, to handle this, we take it back to the agenda committee again and still work it out so that we can make it functional and so that it can be effective.
I'm missing. Well, today, Mr. Chairman, we spent 20 minutes talking about procedure. We should have an agenda for this meeting. We lost 20 minutes already.
But these other things are important.
They are important.
Very important.
Yeah.
And we have to take them up even here. I'm missing a little envelope, a brown manila envelope. Would someone look around and see if he has it? Don? You know the envelopes I pull out those? I kept it in my bag. Did someone see a little small manila envelope anywhere that has some petitions?
Here.
Who do you suspect?
Oh, there.
Who do I suspect? Here,
too. All right, let's go ahead and get the rest of the things, routine things, out of the way. The city manager is going to be here for only about an hour. I suppose about 20 minutes of that has passed.
Yes, sir.
So we will take the agendas. Where are the agendas?
No.
Everyone got their agenda?
No.
Do we have any action?
They were not mailed out there.
We mailed out. Yeah, they arrived in the mail this morning. I have to pick it up.
Well, let me read the agenda and move on to those things that would refer to the city manager so we can have some reactions there because he does have to leave, and then we can move on to the others. Looking at the agenda, there are... First, approval of minutes of the last meeting. I mentioned that the machine broke down. We do not have the minutes there. The chairman's report, and then other reports. I will hold the chairman's report until after we cover the other item that refers directly to the city manager. Before we do, there are some in the room, I think, who wants to make comment about the report in the paper this morning and speak directly to the city manager in that regard. Are any of those individuals here? Who wanted to make comments on that big spread in the union this morning?
Haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it still refers to the city manager. May I pass out to the table? I'll do it backwards then. I hadn't planned for this yet. This is a copy of the report the city manager presented to the city council, released to the press. It was in the paper this morning. And we only have enough probably for those at the table. Right. My name is on mine somewhere. You got yours. Somebody there. Shaver's over there. Shaver's over there. One over there in that area. And I got mine. One back here somewhere. Don, you can get one. I'll follow his. Pack that down, Don. Oh, please. My name is on that one, Don. Since most of us don't even know then what the content of this reporting is, would you react and tell us, please, something about it, and then we can get into it, I hope.
Okay. The idea of putting out a report on the programs in all of the areas that we're attempting to meet this urban crisis as we see it in the city came about because we've been asked by numerous people what is being done. And if you take little pieces of it here and there, you don't get much of a picture of it. And we tried to put together here in one report pretty concise outline of what's being done in the various areas by all of the groups who are interested in one way or another with our problems. Let me say this. We've indicated to all who have asked us that we feel that the problem that we're facing is probably the most important single domestic issue that's facing not only this community but the entire country. We have to actively pursue any and all approaches that might move us closer to a solution. We hope this report will be one we can put out at regular intervals, which will indicate new things as they come along, what's being done, and the scope of the various projects, programs that are undertaken to meet our problems. This is the reason for it. We receive these requests by not only our own people in government here, but by a number of citizens who wanted somebody to put something together that indicated the total program. Carol, the thing is lengthy. I don't think it'd be worthwhile trying to go through each phase of this. I think the variety of programs is rather encouraging that we are trying to hit at many sides of this problem. I want to point out one other thing that we've indicated to everybody, too, that we think, although this is broad in scope, that we're still just perhaps scratching the surface. We've got to do a lot more, and we've got to develop plans and action that will be equal, perhaps, to the dimension of the problem that we're faced with. And we feel this can be done. Can't be done overnight, can be done only through time, and this is the direction at least that our office and I think our whole city government is headed.
Most of you have not seen it. We picked up enough copies, the copies I passed out, we picked up those so at least those sitting at the table could get a copy. It may be too premature to get reactions to it. I give you mine. It's a rather comprehensive report on the activities going on in the city by all the groups that the manager mentioned going on in the city. I might mention, as I discuss the purpose of it, so that it won't be misconstrued as I see it, and maybe Walter will or some of the others will react to this statement. As I see it, it's a report of what's going on. It does not speak to yet what the city has on its boards or what it's contemplating to do to face the problem. Am I correct so far? It's simply a first step to get reports on what's going on.
This is an attempt to put together in one document everything that is now being done. It does include a new program, for example, that we hope to get into. There's only one item in there on that. There are others which will appear in future reports that we are working on.
I would like to see the other side of this kind of report. An analysis of what the problem is and what we are not doing now with respect to the problem. We spend so much time talking about the things we are doing and you get a whole, how many pages here? 13 pages of things that we are doing and we haven't begun to do, we haven't begun in this community or anywhere to meet the problems. What are the problems? And then what are we not doing about the problems? Fill in those gaps.
Glenn?
Mr. Hahn, who participated in the preparation of this report? That is, has CIC seen this report prior to its issuance and helped in the compilation of it? I simply asked.
No, our office prepared the report.
All right.
It's a report of our office.
Right. Okay. Because
not of any other agency.
Well, the reason that I ask is that it seems to me that there are a number of things which tend to report the past but not necessarily the present. For instance, under United Community Services Community Welfare Council, it talks about a campership project, and to the best of my knowledge, the man who headed the campership project left that job 2 months ago because there wasn't any funds for it. And all I'm saying is that there are a number of areas which I think may have been more in the direction of what Judge Lindley is saying, that we should be pointing out also some of the problems in the maintenance of a number of these. The team post is another one that, from my own direct personal knowledge, has had a very rough row to hoe. And So I'm really raising the question of the refinement of this in two directions. One is to perhaps draw together those things which are current, viable, and strong, those which need help, those which are already expired, and maybe can be revived, and then to look forward to a kind of a general survey of what things you really need to be doing in a major way. Thank you, Sharon.
All right.
I'm here to speak about the problem that I know, the police department. Lately, the last month, we've had more harassment from the officers in the street, and I've taken this to the public relations department, who's a new relations man that is on the public relations department now. Community relations is not here, so I won't speak to that. But we've had at roughly 7 or 8 kids arrested from the team folks on suspicion of arson, on suspicion of throwing firebombs, on suspicion of robbery, on suspicion of murder. And when they get to the police department, it's nothing, if they're not questioned about that. They're questioned about us. And it makes me wonder who is trying to start a riot. This is what makes me wonder. Because everything that we try to do in the community, because of our bald heads or our marijuana t-shirts, who we love, and it's black, and we're gonna love it, and nobody's gonna take it away from us, I wonder who's trying to start a riot this summer. Because to me, the police department is on their way of to do it. They're getting young people, they're questioning them, they're talking. When they come back to the street, the other ones say, you think they're looking to jump on them because of this mental harassment that these police are going through. If I've tried, talked to numerous people on the community relations division and asked if we speak to the chief. If he wants to speak to us, let us talk to him. We will dialogue with him. I've asked over and over again. Nothing has happened. They say the same thing that they said last summer, that there's a few policemen like that, but we're working hard on trying to alleviate that problem. And to us, the ones that feel it in the streets, nothing is being done about this problem. And this is the problem. When a police, and I can bring you the kids if you want, anytime, any of you want them. I'm not talking to city officials because they haven't shown us nothing yet. If anybody wants to talk to these kids, that when they get stopped on the street, they're asked, who is Joe Vinson? Who is Albert Heiser? What are they doing? We're supposed to have an arsenal stashed away. It makes me wonder who is trying to start a riot and how fast are they trying to start it. Because at the amount that they're arresting these kids on suspicion of something, and when they have the information that they needed or they haven't got, then they let them loose, then it puts suspicion on them for talking, because the next day they'll break into somebody's house. And I've talked to 3 kids and asked them, did the police have a search warrant? No. The detectives. I talked to Captain Collender. He told me, well, if the detectives do it, then there's nothing that I can do because he's in patrol. It just makes me wonder who is trying to start a riot. And this problem has to be investigated by somebody. Somebody's going to have to listen to what we're saying and overlook our cultural outlook on the whole situation. But somebody is going to have to listen and look at the police on the street and find out just how they're interrogating people and everything else. Because they've already went through the young ones, and the next ones are up. But I wish that somebody in this room would take some kind of time and just at least inquire or question about the patrolman in the street.
Carol, could I comment on this report here?
On the report.
It relates to, it's the connection between the report and what he just said. I was looking at the item here, it says team pulls under the informal sponsorship of the police department. That's page 10. Under the informal sponsorship of the police department, and I just read a report that was in the hands of a young man in the community just yesterday, which was informally reported by a police officer the search of the team post while the door, back door was supposedly left unlocked and nobody was upstairs, supposedly Benny pill or something that was found on the floor, and other literature which was derogatory to the white society. Now I'm wondering, if a sponsoring agency is doing this, then why is the continuous search and siege and harassment of that organization to make reports about what's going on up there? In other words, why were they up there investigating something or looking for something? When no one was there, they said the door was unlocked. Well, why didn't they close it like they would do any other grocery store? If they went in the grocery store and the door was open, they'd try to lock it. They wouldn't go inside and check the man's merchandise. Why the teen folks? I cannot understand the actual intimidation here, but I do know what Albert has just said is true. Even the residents, even the merchants on Imperial said, why are we having so many police officers up and down the street today? Why so many? But it's becoming noticeable, not to the young people, but also the people who live, the adults who live in the area. Now, if the teen post is an activity of the city, then the city, to make it proud, does not turn up and look up all this dirt and clean out this and check just what he's saying here. Now, I pointed out before that the city, especially the police department, is going to have to get its mind geared to accepting things that are positive sometimes. Now, I made this very clear before. The black Muslim, I want this for the record, the black Muslim and the UF organization, which is considered a black national organization, is doing more to curtail the activities of those so-called hostile young people in the community than any other organization in the community. So, if this is to be the truth, if the summertime, the citizen patrol did the same thing, they were harassed. US is doing the same thing now, the US organization, which is a black national group, now they're harassed. The black Muslims were harassed before that, when each one is trying to get black people out of the streets, not put them in the street. I don't understand. I think there's some thinking here. I think they got the wrong concept in trying to antagonize someone because they assume that they're a hate group. So just because you want people to come out of the gutter and you tell them to stop begging the white man doesn't mean that he hates the white man.
All right, let's get some other reactions around the table, Hoffman and Glenn. Let's get some other reactions of those who are looking at the report. I think the point that Albert made should be looked into. We will meet with you and see what can be done. With regard to the report and the team post coverage there, we'll take a look at the report and see what we can do in terms of precisely the things you mentioned there, but we need some other reactions around the table, John.
Well, I wanted to ask Mr. Hahn if they have any program structured or proposed a structure of a program where the city would assume leadership, assume the proper leadership in order that they might mobilize the private sector of the community to assume some responsibility, even though it seems to me the report focuses on city involvement, that it seems to me that city also has a responsibility to try to mobilize the private sector. These are the people with prestige, with the importance and the jobs and all of these other things, and I want to know, Mr. Hahn, to what extent do you feel that you're able to do this? Are you going to do it?
John, we think it can be done. We are working on it at the present time to set up under an urban coalition type of setup an organization here to assess the top leadership in the community to see what can be done to meet the numerous problems and to try to coordinate the many efforts that are already going on. That's being worked on at the present time. We think it will go ahead, and we think it will prove a worthwhile group to stimulate some real action.
Do you feel that it's a feasible kind of thing? The Urban Coalition is, well, of course, it would be a massive effort, but do you feel that the city has its responsibility to inculcate the proper values toward the poor people, the disadvantaged, and the alienated? It seems to me that no leadership has been manifested up to this point by the city.
Well, let me point out this. I think your familiar with the programs that are already underway. There are more proposed to do exactly what you're talking about. The Urban Coalition would be the focal point of it, and that's why I bring that out. The mayor is involved in setting that up at the present time.
What is the state?
We are. He's just in the process of setting it up, sir. As you know, we got a lot of material on this program. The federal government, some of it was somewhat confusing because we got different types of pictures out of it. And we think now they've kind of brought the thing together to a point we know which way we're going. We think it can work. We're involved also at the present time in submitting application under the Model Cities Program, which we think will be worthwhile and which will focus attention at least on some other aspects of total health in an area to better the physical situation in that area. We're working on the possibility of better job programs. We're working on the possibility of better housing programs that will serve low-income groups particularly. These aren't to a point yet where great publicity can be given to them, but they will be in the near future. When they're put together, John, I think in some format that we can have something to discuss, we'll be back here, and this should be soon, to review them with this group.
Well, Judge Lindsley had asked what is not being done, and I think that the question has been answered to some extent. I'm not happy necessarily because we... simply because leadership has not been manifested from that sector to the extent. You see, the community elect the city representatives. I'm talking about the city council, not necessarily Walter Hahn, who carries out the policy of the council and so forth, but also operates the city. But the city council, people are still apathetic. They're not mobilizing people. They're not talking to people. They're saying let Walter Hahn do it, or let Cal Wayman or Joe Blow or Tiger do it, and it's not their responsibility. And it is the responsibility of the city. If they say that we are an all-American city, that we are a city on the move, it seems to me that the leader, political leadership, have to...
John, let me say this. The mayor is taking an active part in it. He is working on it. He spends some very many hours on it. I've spent many hours with him on this to try to get something together so we will have some leadership to go in the right direction. You know from your own contact with many of these programs, it's a little difficult to really get the thing focused where it ought to be so that it's going to do the type of job that needs to be done.
The simple idea of the Urban Coalition is to get together the business and industry leaders of the community in order to plan making available to the minority community under circumstances where they can do the work, give them work that is available and they can do, and if they can't do it, to be able to assist on the job training so that they can do it. Government is going to have to take the lead in assisting in getting them together to do this. Government is going to have to coordinate the efforts. Now, what is government doing except talking about it? The plan is simple, really. It's just a matter of doing it. You don't need to sit down and talk for 2 months about doing something about it. All you need to do is make a decision that the Urban Coalition concept, which has been in existence for several months, and there's been discussions in this community for several months about it, and nothing has yet been significantly done, there's no reason why it shouldn't have been done long ago. There's no reason why we still are talking about doing it. We ought to have had it set up, and we ought to have had it in motion. We can't wait until summer has come and gone before we start talking about getting work available to people during the summertime.
John, is that what you were essentially talking about, too? The leadership that would be afforded to get the private sector mobilized?
Yes. And I think Waller misunderstood me. I think he indicated that maybe I was criticizing the mayor. I know the mayor has done something in this area, but I don't see the other elected representatives responding adequately and appropriately. And that's what I'm saying, the lack, the gap, the leadership gap, which does not exist, not on the part of maybe one official, but collectively as a city, elected officials responded. And I think this is what it's all about. Because if they had, an urban coalition would have been formed already. That's my...
We had one back here on the neighborhood model cities, model neighborhoods, before we get down to Glen and
the thing is, when you start spending all these millions of dollars to start beautifying this city, the first thing I want to see on this list is have some railroad lines down there in southeast San Diego. Because out of all the cities, I haven't seen some railroad lines, but not in the black community. We like to see trees up along Imperial Avenue. We want some timber down there.
Right.
And some railroad lights.
The railroad lights mean crossing lights? Or
crossing signals.
Crossing signals.
There's a railroad
on the commercial there. And, I think these are specific things that we should get down to bring to the attention of the proper authorities. And they don't necessarily have to wait until this neighborhood model program, I think.
They have all the money in the world. They can do it tomorrow if they want to.
And those are some of the specific things that can be done immediately. Glenn and then Oxford.
Well, I just wanted to...
I mean, that's Glenn. Go ahead, Glenn.
Oh, Brooklyn? Fine. Go ahead, Glenn. Back to the point that Judge Lindsay brought up about a report of what is not being done. In our meetings this last week on the model neighborhood, seems that there we have started off to make a list in certain specific areas. For instance, in the area of income maintenance, in the area of employment. Then we're going on with health, with all these other things. And that report, as I understand it, is to be completed and submitted by the end of March. Now there we are specifying in the specific census tracts that are being considered for this modern neighborhood thing, the programs and the services that are missing. It appears to me that this could at least be one significant step as a reverse report of what is not being done, what the weaknesses are in these particular areas. And I wonder if it would be appropriate for the report that's being considered for the model neighborhood program be submitted to this group so that we have an inverse report of what is not being done.
Mr. Chairman?
But we got one or two down here. Give it a...
I'm speaking the same point, Mr. Chairman. I put forth a lot of effort in this thing of dealing with neighborhood centers under the HUD grants, which, to my surprise, when I brought it to some of the councilmen and some other city officials, they had no knowledge of even this type of thing existing. I drew up a program that would that we felt would be inclusive, and the ministers, some of the ministers in the city that had the available space, were enthused about the idea of putting neighborhood centers in the various sections of southeast San Diego, which would not cost the city anything other than making a requisition, making a request that this type of thing was needed in X area. And we bogged down to the point of one official raised the question, well, what would... If we would approve this for you, then everybody would be talking about it. Well, this is the thing we want everybody to be talking about, because the money is available. We had the man from Los Angeles, from the HUD office, to come down to our office, and he and three more people from San Francisco, and they were enthused about the idea, and the money is available now for this type of thing, which in this facility will entail all of the areas of concern to people, counseling, legal advice, and so forth to the senior citizens, and various recreational activities, and on the job training as much as we can get in various areas. And we had a lady, I'm not picking on La Jolla again, but in La Jolla, who had volunteered her services, she and three more retired, volunteered their services to teach the senior citizens various crafts and things during the daytime. But we reached a point, and the attorney, one of the city attorneys is here now, who looked into the matter. And the thing that sort of washed the whole idea out was the idea of what use would the church have of the building. And they came up with this whole business of church and state. Well, I feel if the church can't take the leadership in some of these things, then it's useless. And this is the approach. Now, there are funds available for this type of for this type of project. There are three areas, to my knowledge, including the area where we are in Southeast San Diego, that can provide enough space for a neighborhood facility, which will include swimming pools and everything. We have our plans and everything together. But we bogged down on this business of what would be your use. So would you have an office over in that building? And literally, which doesn't mean anything. And the HUD people are not speaking on that. If the question was raised here, and they sent the attorney, and he's here now, or up to San Francisco, and with a lot of questions about, and all boiled down to what would we use the building for as a church? And would the city be making a request for the government to build us an education building for our church, which is not the, which is not relevant at all? And this is one thing that we can do. We have the plan for it, the program, and everything for it. And we have two more ministers that can provide space for this type of thing. And but now, where we go from here, I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I want to follow a little bit what John and Judge Lindsley. I want to follow a little bit what John and Judge Lindsley said, at least the implications in my mind of what they said. It seems to me that the problem that we're talking about really is racism, again, what we started with. And it seems to me that what I'd like to see is a battery of local officials set themselves down to the task of trying to, at least at one level, I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue on with programs, action-type programs, but because we should, obviously, but I'd like to see somebody try to get at the root of the thing by a group of people who are in positions of power to do something about it, set themselves the task of trying to educate the majority community about the effects of this racism business. You know, nobody's really talking to this. Nobody's really saying, this is why we have these kinds of notions. This is why the Urban Coalition doesn't get started, because we have a paternalistic attitude toward minorities, Negroes particularly. Mm-hmm. They are somehow inferior, and anything they get is better than they would have if they weren't here, type thing. And I think that we ought to address ourselves to those issues. Somebody ought to find out what, because obviously most people don't know, what the historical facts are, and present them in a way to the majority community, so that it can somehow or other wash out this feeling of inferiority or superiority toward the minority people, that they can become human beings, and then I think we have a much less difficult job in the process of finding jobs, because you know, every time you talk to an employer, well, he's got to find a place for this kind of somehow or other inferior being, you know, and if that's out of his mind, I think that all the other programs will follow much more readily. So I'm suggesting a two-level approach to the thing. While we're talking about Urban Coalition, let's also talk to the main issue. Let's try to mobilize some people with power and with prestige and with perception and get some input from whatever source they can and really aim themselves at a campaign of public education in this area.
Just a reaction, and Leon, I think, has hit the crux of it. And that is, what I was really trying to say was that public officials like Ed Butler, Bob Dent, the city council, the rest of the city council, just on one day sat together and said, we want people in the community to know that this city is inculcated for some reason in racism, and that we're going to solve the problem and we're going to take the leadership in doing it, that things have been bad, but they're going to be better as of today. If those persons came in and put pressure on the rest of the community, that would be the appropriate response. And it just has not been done up to this point.
Ed, Carol?
Yes. Let me give a perception, going back to what we started, to Reverend Oxley, who may be leading the impression with the group that here again in the neighborhood centers that the city, with all of its tokenism and all of its words, is still dead center and is not doing anything to move that particular program of yours ahead. And it's a perception which I'd state to you, if there's a fundamental doctrine in the American Constitution, it is, I take it, the separation of church and state. But there's just axiomatic in the law that you can't take public funds and devote them to church purposes. I mean, this is a very clear and elementary thing in the law. We ran into this with that particular project of yours, the extent to which the church would be participating in and be the beneficiary of these public monies. And the doctrine was not raised initially by us, it was raised by the federal attorneys in San Francisco looking at the church's participation in the program. And it may be, I had thought it could be worked out, but apparently the church is not able to give up use of the property that they propose over the next 20 years. But here's a thing that I would suggest to the group. How do we, with that concept of separation of church and state, evolve and work out this neighborhood center that Reverend Oxley is interested in, when he apparently would be unwilling, from the church's standpoint, to give up any use of the property for a period of 20 years, which the federals require, as I understand it. And thus, he comes and says it's dead center, and apparently the city, again, is not doing anything in connection with the program. It's a perception which I get out of this, and I suspect others may be getting the same thing on it. What do you do with a thing like this? Faced we are with this fundamental doctrine of separation of church and state, and this elemental concept you can't use public monies for church purposes. Then it gets involved, maybe as Leon is suggesting, do you turn that around into a racist approach on the city's part or on my part?
To clarify my statement, maybe I was misinterpreted, but this is not, what you're saying is not the case. We have not made any agreement or disagreement on the use of the facility. The question was raised of what we could not do, and we haven't said anything. We understand from reading the HUD requirements what is expected out of the church. We are the sponsoring organization, and as any other sponsoring organization, we have we are also putting money into the project. One third of the funds will be put in by the sponsoring organization, plus the overall direction and upkeep of the building is in the sponsoring organization. They are responsible for it. They're responsible for cash. So the only thing that we were speaking of, now there are a number of ways, as an attorney, there are ways for a lease. You see, we use the federal government, they are using our facility now for a neighborhood center. They are using the building now on a 6-day lease, and the 7th day we make our own we determine what we're going to do it on that 7th day, and after that is over, it goes back to the neighborhood group for their action. No, we haven't stated that we would not we understand clearly that it's a 20-year program. Our concern is to give some service to the Stockton community, which we know the need from survey, that there are hundreds and there are hundreds of young people there in that particular area with nothing to do but out in the street. Now we're going to have the facility, whether we get the HUD cooperation or not. But in doing that, our concern for the community will be a little different, because we feel that there is more could be done by the federal government than they are doing in that particular area.
Okay, well, I just want to just make one statement here, that the dilemma that we both have here is one not related to race, color, or creed.
Oh, no.
And
no,
I just
no,
want
no,
to...
No, in connection with what the judge stated, that what's being done, what's the other side of the picture? Well, somebody else is trying to do something out there in the community, and we need to sort of correlate our efforts and actually go into something that can be done, because we can talk about programs all we want to talk about, but if we have no facilities to execute these programs, we're joking.
And Ed, let me try to tie in what was said, maybe in terms of Reverend Ostley, from what John said, what Leon said, in terms of the overview philosophy. I think what I hear is that at this point there are several things that may be done, not just with his specific one, if we move it off from Reverend Oscar's project per se, but there are three ministers mentioned, plus others that I know of, who are saying, we are here, we are available, we have facilities, let's get together and find other alternatives to working out solutions, putting the programs in operation now, if I'm
right.
Not that particular
If the youth corps, this new program that they're talking about, the youth summer program that they're trying to get a director for now, where will he carry on his activities? There's no place there to carry on activities. These neighborhood centers that they have throughout the city, it's a joke. We're not going to face it. There's nothing being offered there for those people. First of all, the space is too limited. When they get the staff in there, then there's no room for any other activities whatsoever. It's mostly for housing people who are salaried. I'm not against that, because I'm salaried, but I mean, the outreach is not of such that's attractive to anybody.
I think you and John are saying the same thing along with Leon. Let's get together and do something about it, basically, and we are available. There was another hand up over here.
Yes. I wanted to go back to this aspect of harassment, and I wanted to speak in terms of the frequency of overlooking some immediate goals, something that can be done immediately. And I think that this is one very vivid example here. This gentleman here has talked about harassment. This is something that is right now, and that something has to be done about it. And quite often I find that we tend to talk about the long-term goals and forget the importance of something like this. We become very the city fathers become very insensitive to these small things that have a tremendous effect on minority groups. I think this has to be dealt with, and has to be dealt with immediately. And you've got to think about the immediate goals and also about the long-range goals. But these immediate goals, you'd be surprised how important they are. And I think that this aspect of harassment has to be dealt with in some manner, strongly and immediately. Now, the Mexican-American has had similar results with the police department for a long time. In fact, I have been the victim of this kind of harassment. I know what it's like. It's a terrible feeling. And I don't want to go through that again. I don't want any of other fellow Mexican Americans or Negroes to go through this thing. And it really burns a person up, and it burns
the young community up, and it can have a tremendous effect on what they can do. So I think that this is some of the thing that has to be taken care of immediately. This is an immediate goal that has to be taken care of. And in relation to this harassment, I also want to point out to something that perhaps many people aren't aware of, but this thing about the green carters, which some of our city people have dealt with so strongly, what they call the green carters, the Mexican aliens. Now, these people are immigrants. They're living here, they're paying taxes, they go to the armed services, and they die for this country. And why are you calling these people Mexican aliens? All the people that came in the so-called Mayflower were aliens. They're no different than anybody else. So I'm saying that you may be trying to save the county money, and you're saying that there's $1 million spent on these people, but you know what about this $1 million that you probably, if you count the number of people that are receiving these services, they only get about $1,000 to $2,000 per year, and that's a family of 10. So you're not going to tell me that you're giving these people an amount of money that is buttering them up and making them live like rich people. Another thing that is mentioned in this thing about the green card is that these immigrants come here specifically for the purpose of receiving assistance. That they come over here and that they're well aware of the welfare system, and that they come over here and they're willing to take all our money. Well, I'm making a study on this as a graduate student, and this is completely absurd. And what I'm saying is that because you're attacking so-called Mexican aliens, you are also attacking Mexican Americans who have a tremendous right to be here. And I think that this is another form of harassment, and I don't particularly care for it.
You want to identify yourself so that everyone here knows who you are?
My name is Bert Rivas. I'm the president of Mexican American Youth Association on-campus organization at State College, and I'm a graduate student.
Carol, let's speak directly to the point of the police department. A very good analogy was given on one of the shows the other night by an individual who was being interviewed about the difference in the attitudes of policemen towards Caucasians as versus minorities. And a very good example was given, for an example, a person who's driving home, a person, he's black, or he's Mexican, and he's stopped, and he's had a few drinks. The police officer jerks him out of the car. Where you're going, what do you think you're doing? You fool, you shouldn't be driving this car. I'm going to take you to jail. Bango. Off he goes, 502. Now, over in Claremont, the same cat, you know, is driving down the street, same officer. He drives up behind Joe Whiteboy, and he says, "Oh, Mr. John, how you doing? Gee, you've had a couple of drinks." He says, "Let me drive you home. My partner will follow us. I don't think you're going to get yourself in trouble driving. Let us drive you home." Now, they drove one man home, the other man to jail. That is the difference in the analysis of using discretion. And this happened. You see, the black boy is automatically suspicious. He wears dark glasses, he's black, and he's got a natural, or he's got his hair processed. And we all look alike, you know. So that gives us justification for taking us to jail under suspicion. When one black guy does something in the community, that gives us justification. But, Carol, discretion, and it has to be used. And what Bert has just said, this is not something what you should go back and investigate. We're not asking you to go back and find out the officers who are doing this. No, you just go out there and tell that force, don't do it anymore. That's all. Now, don't go try to find out. You've been trying to find out, well, you tell us who it is. You give us his badge number. Hell, you tell all fours. You got one badge number one night and another badge number the next night. We can't keep up with the badges. So just go tell them to stop it. You see, because if you do not, then it's not the black community, it's not the black cats that's inciting a riot, it's the white police. And in this country today, you can't name me one riot that was actually started by a black man. Each one was by a confrontation by a police officer, and most of the time, he was in the wrong with the confrontation. The biggest one we had in California, a highway patrol, and he's posting up on the freeway. You see, he started this. So what Albert was saying is that you yourself are making this incitement by the accusation that is being made. You picked a young boy up, you picked up one fellow to question him about the killing of a cab driver, and you end up asking him everything about the ELSA organization, the Black Nationalist Group, where were their headquarters, what were they planning to do, and you didn't ask anything about the cab driver that was shot. So, I mean, you're not jiving anybody.
I mean, these guys aren't fools anymore. All you're doing is tagging them so they don't trust each other, because now they think each other thinks on each other. So now you're actually doing what you're capable of doing, and that is splitting up the black community. That's what you're doing. Because you're attacking cats when they get picked up as being thinks, because the next day, as he said, saw his house get broken into without a search warrant. So you've made this guy think. Now they're at each other, and this is the traditional thing, as long as we've been slaves, was always to keep us apart by keeping us suspicious of each other.
We had several specific things mentioned here this morning. Several specific things. The feelings are very strong about those specific things. I'm also looking at the agenda that has specific things. I'd like for us to take a look at that agenda, see if some of these specific things can be subsumed under some of those items. If not, I think the chair should take prerogatives to go right ahead with some of these specific things until we get them down to some kind of action or suggested who's going to handle some of them this morning, and then get back to this agenda and follow the reactions to the mayor's, to the manager's report that we started out with. Seems to me many of these that we've said, though, fall within that era, reacting to that report. I saw a hand over here, and over here, and then I'll take the prerogative to start looking at the agenda. Glenn?
Carol, much of the feeling which has been voiced here today gets back to one of the heart problems that I, at least, have been trying to hammer away at time and time and time again. And that is the way in which things are done. Here again is an example of a report which, in my mind, based on some of the facts we have at hand now, had this report been first presented to the dialogue and kept with the dialogue, you wouldn't have been making statements saying the city is doing so much in the team post and having Albert saying, yeah, you look what they're doing, it's a team post. You wouldn't have things we're saying, look what we're doing, and they're no longer in existence. We phase them out, or we don't refund them. It's that kind of thing. It's the same kind of thing that we, on Tuesday, make a report to the city that we're all in favor, we're going to put teeth in making sure there's no discrimination, and 2 days later we're telling people how we're going to get riot control without a consultation with this group, as near as I can see. The same thing is true of the district attorney, who is making statements about green card carriers, which gives a certain kind of flavor or tone or climate to the community, which then makes it much more difficult for dialogue. It makes it much more difficult for this young man to come in here and tell us what some of the real problems are, because he's got a first bite off statements which basically may be perfectly legitimate in their own right in that sphere of it, but it doesn't show the sensitivity of what we're trying to do here. What I'm saying is that somehow there still is business as usual. The city is going its way, and it's not checking back with this group or any group, as near as I can see, for this kind of sensitivity. And I've said it over and over and over again. They still don't get the message. They got to check first and be sensitive. And this is not a sensitive document. It was not put with this group, which could have made it sensitive. That ordinance that was proposed was not a sensitive ordinance. Had it been proposed here, we could have made it a sensitive ordinance.
All right. Seems to me we're still talking about same basic problem. Judge, and then Edgar.
Hey, earlier this week, I read in, I think it was one of the legal papers, but it may have been the local press, a study that had been made showing the percentage of violations of law which are handled informally amongst the affluent members of society, including all kinds of violations from drunk driving to burglary, robbery, rape, and all these things that are handled informally without any booking, without any arrest, or without anything at all. And it was about 70%. I meant to bring it and I forgot. Now we know, as a matter of fact, that I don't know as a matter of fact, I'm reasonably sure from my own observation that this same approach isn't taken with the less affluent members of society, and particularly the minority groups. The key to the problem is one of
those who are in charge of society and their attitude with respect to other people who make up that society. And it's just that simple. If you assume that those who occupy an inferior status in the economic life in the, of the community occupy that status because they're inferior, then you'll act this way. If you assume that they occupy that inferior status because you yourself have oppressed and denied them, you then will not act that way. You will do something to correct it. It is just that simple. When society decides that people in the minority community are in the inferior status they are because they have been not allowed to be anything else, not because they are inherently inferior, this thing is going to be corrected. It'll be corrected. You won't have to talk about what program is going to, you won't have to sit around dialogues and talk about what kind of programs you're going to have. You'll know what kind of programs to be, you'll know what to do. You first have to make up in your own, you may have to make the decision in your own mind that people are being oppressed because of what they look like, or because they, the color of their skin, or the or other different irrelevant differences that they have, and not because they are inherently incapable of being equal to the rest of society. It's just that simple.
I have sounds like me. We're still on the same frequency. Thank you very much. I'd like to get a copy of that report that we can make use of.
I'll see that you get it. I had it duplicated and I forgot to bring it.
All right. There's an Edgar Hayes hand up over here, then Mike Schaefer, and Edgar this time.
Well, one of the
I was still talking to the general.
Yeah, the general.
All right.
One of the first things that I saw with this report is an insult to me.
Paula, just a minute, please. Would you make it a little louder, please?
I said, one of the first things that I saw with this report is an insult to my intelligence. Because I don't know about many of you who are not familiar with these programs, but I do know about myself because I am in the field, and a lot of these programs I have to bring about. And I must say that as far as the city or the county is concerned, we receive no help from them whatsoever, namely the CHIRP program. The only thing that they did with the CHIRP program was out of Jack Simpson's office, and he came down after we gathered all the material. There was a lot of legwork to be done, and we did all this legwork and submitted to the council, and they passed on it. Now, my definition of help, when you help someone, you start in the beginning advising him, you're with him both night and day, anytime that he's working on a project. The city did not do this. Another thing, first of my knowledge that I heard about this team post now. My office is right next to this team post. And the last I heard that they needed someone had stopped paying the rent and that they were scared that they may be put out. And then I looked in the day's paper about the police department is connected with this team post. Now, one of the positive actions that I think that we can do as a group and that the city manager can do, and I think it's being done in most of the large cities. You see, in southeast area, the Negroes that are on the police force are nothing more than patrols. And so naturally, when an act of aggression is created against a citizen, and he calls someone, this captain that come out, these community relation men that in front of me here, they come out, they white. So white is not going to go against white. Now, the thing to do is appoint a black man, so when he come out there, then the citizens can feel that he has a chance. But the white man gonna follow the old status quo. And I see the Councilman Schaefer looking at me. Yes, that's the way it is. I didn't set up these stipulations. I was born into them. They named black and white, and I'm just going along with the program. So what we want to do is to promote some Negroes. So a Negro captain can come out there, and when someone does something, then I can talk to this Negro captain. See, and maybe he'll tell this white boy, say, well, look at here. Don't let him fly this time. I know him. But these men that are in public relations, they don't know anything about me. They don't know my background. They don't know what my aspiration is. They don't know what my family is. Like they say to do the butlers, the Jessup, and this sort of thing. They don't know anything about us. And so the black community is at a loss because the men that we have public relations is a misnomer. They don't know any more about me. As far as they're concerned, I'm just another Negro that's out of work, that's fixing to rob or steal. So positive action is to appoint a black man on that police force to come out there so when these white patrolmen do something, he will listen at our point of view. Now, again, getting back to this church. Now, I the noted attorney here was talking about church and state. I haven't had much legal knowledge, but I mean, I passed through the door, and I'm sure he knows about the law of eminent domain. Now, if the reverend there got a good program, I don't see why you should allow this to stand in the way. Let's declare one of those places out there for the use of the general welfare and move the building and build this club out there. I mean, this is a very simple matter because from what I'm sitting here listening to you saying this, that we have the money, but we don't like the way the operation is. Okay, well, if you got the money, let us go out and condemn the building and build a nice club out there for these people. I mean, we just keep pussyfooting around. We keep tossing the ball around what we're going to do, and we're doing nothing.
Before Mike Schroeder speaks, we have some feedback on some of your reactions that they're usually political. Now, whether that's valid or not, it came from several members of the group. So I suggest that you don't start out this time maybe talking about what we have done. Stick with this, and I think we won't get the feedback, and I won't have to name names. They sent me a little note, and I told them I didn't think at this time as chairman that it would be appropriate for me to read the name. I would just state it that way. So I've given you three official feedbacks from members of the dialogue. You're on now with that.
Well,
I did not mean to be personal in cutting you down.
Are you telling me that I cannot refer to the past? I just want to point out, as much as I have admiration and respect for George Stevens, I think he does a disservice when he suggests that all the Johnny White boys who were out drinking with too much alcohol get taken home and that the Joe Minardi gets put right to jail. I've seen corporation presidents and all kinds of other people from the power structure arrested and taken to jail for drunk driving. We arrested
San Diego.
I was a prosecuting attorney for a year and a half, and I've personally prosecuted a couple hundred people for drunk driving, and I can only recall a very few that were of minority background. We had a juvenile arrest report came out for an arrest for, I guess, January, and I think there's something like 8 to 13% of them were minority. I really think it's unfair to think that all the minority people get put in jail for drinking. I think there's an awful lot of... we arrested 9,000 people last year for drunk driving. I bet you if you looked at... if there is a racial breakdown, you'd find somewhere between 4 and 6 were minority, and you'll find that somewhere between 4 and 6% of the city of San Diego is minority. And you brought out a good point about we don't have Negro police captains. We have at least two Mexican-American sergeants on the department who are very fine people. And we have a number of Negro police officers, and I think the city will appoint as a police officer every Negro who comes to me and is qualified, because we want to get Negro, white, Mexican-American, we want to get good people into law enforcement. The more we have come from Negro background into the department, the more sergeants we're going to have, the more captains it's going to build up. But you must realize that we didn't make too much progress in the first 50 years of the century in many of those areas, and we have made some in the last 5 years, and we're working on it. We didn't have any Mexican-American sergeants, I don't think, 5 years ago, and I think 5 years from now we'll have probably people from minority Negro background that are up there. But I don't want to talk about what we have done, because anytime anybody on the city council or the city attorney opens his mouth in this area, he's speaking in matters of policy, perhaps, and policy is relates to politics, you know, and whatnot. I mean, these aren't campaign speeches or anything, Carol, but just...
I gave you an official feedback, Mike.
Sure.
I can't give you the names, but that would cause too much ruckus. I just gave you an official feedback.
I do appreciate the feedback, but I do think it's a disservice to suggest that we're mollycoddling the Joe White boy and putting the Joe Minardi in jail on this stuff. I think we're apprehending people without regard to that. Maybe there's a few more police cars in one part of town than the other. Maybe a few of these things happen because of a certain activity in certain areas. But I personally know that the people going to Mr. Butler's office, it's not top heavy with minorities.
Well, let's assume that the problem exists only in the minds of the people who are expressing them so intensely this morning. We still have the problem. And I think we ought to address ourselves to that reality.
Mr. Chairman, the reality of the whole thing is that if the black man says something has happened to him, I'm getting damn tired of people saying, no, it's not happening. You see, because there's no need to dialogue. If I'm telling you something and you don't believe what I'm telling you, there's no need to come to tell you. So, Mike, you're a black boy. You can't tell me what's going to happen to me.
Speaking of this dude here, I don't know how you got your job. I think you paying somebody to let you be a congressman. Anytime, if you have a city in the South that could elect a black police chief, now I mean a black police chief in the South, we don't, this San Diego is about the most racist city in the United States, because if they could elect a black police chief in the South and we don't have a black police sergeant downtown, you got to be jobbed. And when somebody's been in public relations, since a black person has been in public relations since it's been started, and every time somebody new comes in, he's still the last, he's still the one that has no rank.
Right.
You bring in new lieutenant, you bring in new sergeant. But black boy down there, he's still an officer. But now he's going to talk about what officers are down there that's black.
Name
one of them, man.
When you say officers, you mean the patrolmen?
No, I mean sergeants. You got lieutenants, you got captains, you have inspectors.
I don't think we have any officers above the rank of
What you just been telling me? People got black officers down there for?
They're officers, they're not above. All of them are patrolmen, is what he's saying. Right?
We should have about 50 Negro police officers.
No, he's talking about promotion, Mike. He's not talking about rank, numbers. Rank he's talking officers. About rank officers. That's what he's saying.
What he's talking about, Mike, is essentially this, is that the police department under this guy, and this says police community relations. Now, Collins started out in here. And within 13 years, this man rose from a patrolman to a captain, which is almost unheard of. And he rose in on this, on the sentiment and on the ignorance of the white community, because they thought that he was pacifying the Negroes. And in essence, he wasn't doing anything. Last week here, he made a statement over that. This man knows nothing about Negroes. What I'm saying to you is one thing, Mike, is that we need a black lieutenant in that area. Now, I don't mind these white fellas getting ahead. I mean, I have no quarrel. I'm trying to get ahead, too. But what I would like to see, and the community would like to see, is a black lieutenant down there, so that when some Joe Blow come down and hit my car, that I can talk with the man.
Yeah.
I can't talk with these white boys. He don't know nothing about me.
I'd like to make an interesting point that happened day before yesterday when I was talking to about 13 youth in front of our office. They were telling me about the ones that got arrested and how they came in the house. They said that they had been stopped at least four or five times by the police coming from the team post, whether or not they know that they're going to wear a Marlana sweatshirt and Malcolm X sweatshirt, and this is the reason why they're being stopped, they believe. I know why. But they are being stopped, and they were telling me that they're tired of being stopped. You know, they're tired of being stopped. One of them said, well, you know, they stop us and they ask us a bunch of questions, they don't let us go. Well, I'm going to shoot one. And I had to explain to him that that's not going to get it. He can't get out there and shoot that policeman because, you know, I said to him that you know what happened. He said he didn't give a damn what happened. You know, and they're telling me this. You know, and then you got a man on the relations, Davis is here, that on my second confrontation with him, I was arrested.
Right.
You know, he knows me.
Right.
He knows me. Arrested me for loitering at Gompers High School when I'm waiting for the kids to come out of school so I could try to make them disperse because there's 100 police around the corner. I'm talking to him. He looks at me and smiles. You under arrest. You under arrest. And you under arrest, because there were three of us. And we were arrested. We were handcuffed. We were put in the car. We were taken to the police station, getting ready to get booked. And then they came and got us. Now, if we're talking about
solving a problem. Man, we got to understand that when we tell you, we may get excited when we tell you, because I'm excited, because I'm tired of being harassed. You know, I'm tired of them looking at me and smiling. I'm tired of them calling down the police department and getting nothing. And then you say, I tell them, get badge numbers, you guys, get badge numbers. Man, what good is getting badge numbers? They got a point. What good is getting badge numbers? We got a badge number of an officer named Rogers that is harassing us. A big one. We got his badge number. We turned it in. We told him. He still drives by every morning by the office and passes by and gives us one of them white smiles. And, you know, we tired of it. The man said we're always threatening. I'm not threatening. The police are threatening. It's going to have to be moved on. That's all there is to it.
The President's Commission spent, about $600,000 just to tell you white people that racism is the cause. We've been trying to tell y'all since past Marcus Garvey that racism exists. Y'all, I have one question to ask Lieutenant Davis.
No, can't do that.
I cut my case. This is a free country.
We don't put him on the spot that way. You can make a statement about it.
We can't talk to him down there, man.
Well, we can't address it directly to him, though. I'll set up a meeting in my office, though, for you where you can.
Well, I'll send him a note.
All right. Walter, you had something to say.
Right. It's the same point. You know, and you surprise me, man. I know, there's a time, you know, when you get to a point that you have no more room to back up. You know, you're up against the wall. You know, what you going to do but come out fighting. I think the thing has been stated, you know, so many times. I'm down here by influence. I was never going to come down here again, you know, because it has gotten to the point that you go through all these changes, the room is getting bigger, you know, but you're still going through the same basic changes. Relating to points, you know, of harassment, relating to the things that they say do not exist, you know, how many white people get stopped in their community 9:30 in the morning for a traffic citation and had to have 7 police cars to come give them that citation. You know, I don't think this happened. Mm-hmm. But this happened 3 weeks ago. You know, to me, another young lady, you know, that's in a training center and another gentleman. Now, this police officer, at the time when he was there, he was there by himself. I don't know what was going on in this man's mind when he stopped, you know, when he stopped us. Made his point that there had been a traffic violation. In the process of trying to find out who it was all about, all these officers, you know, started to approach the area. At the point of them getting there, his whole attitude changed. You know, the thing I'm trying to state is that, to me, the man is a bully, if you can understand that. When the other officers come, he starts kicking over the door, you know, kicking it on people, getting like, you know, everybody started putting on their gloves, you know, putting their hands on their guns, these type things. You know, we're tired of being intimidated now. You know, we have reached the point of tired of being intimidated. And I think somebody might, you know, pay attention to what's being said.
John?
Logan.
Yeah. I think that from the whole discussion was going around in the state there, but we want the city father there to accept that this is a problem and quit wasting time and kicking around asking if this is the problem. I think that the city the city father there in the power structure is going to have to accept the fact that this is a problem and take positive steps there to alleviate it. I think that's the whole discussion there. And anyone that gets up there, we're going to find out if this is the problem or not. It is a problem. It is a known fact. And let's take positive steps there to do it and quit wasting time here. Beating around the bush here trying to investigate whether there's a problem or not.
It's two-way attitudes I'm going to get. It's two-way streets I'm going to get to anymore, brother. They've been saying, well, it's a two-way street. No, it's not. It's a one-way street. You're one way.
All right, sir.
Tom, and then Supervisor Dan.
Yeah. As one of the original members of this dialogue, I think it has lost its purpose. Going back to the first expanded meeting when we brought in the city manager and the
city attorney, city attorney, invited the mayor. We were asked to outline what we thought the problem was, and I think I was given that assignment. At that time, we said that the problem was one of racism. The problem is the system of racism, and that discrimination, segregation, housing, all of that sort of stuff, those are byproducts of the problem. And that in order for this dialogue to have any meaning, we should not talk about problems, plural, but the problem of racism. And that we should all, if it was to have any meaning, come to establish this as the frame of reference on which we would work, or there is no reason for dialogue. We do not need dialogue for you to continue to do what you are doing and for us to continue to do what we're doing. We don't need dialogues to expand parks, we just need money. We don't need dialogues to stop police brutality, we just need to stop it. But we do need a dialogue for the city of San Diego if it can establish racism, white racism, as the problem and evolve some enlightened program to work at that. Now, we have gotten away from that. We're talking about problems that result from the problem. And I see the heck of those. The beautiful statement the city came out with about 2 weeks ago on discrimination, I was just made and surprised that we allowed that thing to go about doing away with discrimination and employment. I thought we had established early that we were not talking about discrimination, but that we're talking about racism. That statement said nothing about racism. It didn't speak to that issue. It should. That should be the central theme of it. A year ago, when we started this, we attempted to tell you exactly what the President's Commission said, that white racism is a problem. We attempted to say that San Diego and all of the San Diegos across the country has an opportunity to recognize that and begin working from that frame of reference. We still are not doing it. And as far as the NAACP is concerned, until we move to that frame of reference, accept that fundamental premise, and get some sort of an official city position that speaks directly to that issue as a frame of reference from which this city is going to work, then we are no longer going to support this dialogue and are going to do everything we can to see that it's broken up, because we think it is being used as a preserver and a protector of that system, and we are being used to delude our people and the people of the city of San Diego into thinking that the city is doing something constructive, when in fact it is not.
I think our dialogue is meant for everybody to talk who has a viewpoint. We listen a great deal to one viewpoint and we don't get over on the other viewpoint. I would say that over the years that I've been in public office, one of the main things that I get telephone calls on is policemen who have stopped to young people and are interrogating them at all kinds of days and nights. And you can see it on University Avenue, you can see it on Elkhorn Boulevard, you can see it all over the city. And many of these youngsters are taken to juvenile hall, and I get telephone calls from their parents complaining about this. And so it's happening in all parts of the city. It's not happening in just one part of the city. And speaking on the fact of how white people are treated and how colored people are treated, I happen to have a very close friend of mine who is an elder in the Mormon church. He doesn't even drink coffee or Coca-Cola. And yet he was stopped the other day, and he was made to get out of his car, made to walk a line. He was made to stand on one foot and then on another foot and gone through all these tests. And he called me to say, "Well, what can I do about this?" And I said, "Well, how did they happen to stop you?" And he said, "Well, I was charged with driving erratically." Well, I'm not blaming the officer doing that. If I drive erratically, no matter why I'm driving erratically, I think I should be stopped and questioned about it.
but he was pretty disturbed about this and wanted to go to the police department and bring charges and so on and so forth. But I talked him out of it because I said, the police officer is probably doing his duty. So as he saw it, you were driving erratically and you want to make sure you weren't drunk. Well, the man never took a drink in his life. But it happens to all colors, not just one color.
Hold up, George. Sir, we got to stop this George. Discussion. Tom, we got to go back to Tom's point.
Hold up, George.
Okay.
Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to have one of the... One of the members of the power structure... sorry to say that no black people can be classified as a member of the power structure, so that we are without representation. But I would like to have one of the members, it matters not who, well, speak to the President's Commission's findings. Do we in San Diego have a situation of racism? I don't think that the black people have, they've blown themselves here this morning with the white people on the defensive. But we'll never get any place until we admit to the truth. If it doesn't exist, then we will have to start trying to find other means of solving the problem. But if racism does exist in San Diego, then what can we do together to bring an end to many of the threats, the feeling of threats, and the fear that exists in the hearts of black people and Mexican people in the community? What can we do about it? Not how can we discuss it and toss it backward and forth and one will defend his position. I don't know who would like to do this. Does it exist? If it doesn't exist, then I think that we have been wasting our time discussing something here this morning.
Who can speak?
Ed? I thought it was a great statement made on the purpose of the dialogue, and as it originally started out, I, for one, have conceded that I'm at the point of admitting there is a racist society and it's a racist city, and I'm a racist. I'm now able to say that candidly and openly. But I thought we'd all conceded that, and that the purpose of this was now how do you get it implementing and doing some of the things, and why don't we get on that agenda and start to... I'm not on the defensive on this subject here. Because we sit here and listen to these allegations, it doesn't mean that we admit their truth, nor do we admit that they're false. We're here listening to them, but I don't feel defensive about this stuff, and I concede the racism, but I don't know why we don't get to the implementation. You've got some people here who can act and work on things, and you've got us receptive to what's being said. Now, how do you get the program underway here? It's interesting to hear all of this this talk, and just let me say that you must be discouraged, George, thinking that we aren't sensitive, and we miss a lot of times on sensitivity, but as a self-serving statement, there are three lawyers in my office, and not including me, who are here today.
We got
the lawyer who works in false arrest cases and represents the police department is here. He's getting sensitive. We got the lawyer that represents the personnel department, Civil Service Commission, and he's getting sensitive, I think. We have Ken Lounsbury over here, who works with Reverend Oxley in the Community Development Program, and I think he's getting sensitive. But we need to get CIC, or we need to get this the vehicle through which the action program can get underway. And I think you've talked to us enough about how lousy we are, and how can we help ourselves.
You were responding to Tom's quick reaction, Ed. To your point about what you said is well taken about the recognition. The report that I read in the paper this morning on the city's program for what it's doing with respect to the racial issue or racial tension, there should have been something before that report. It should have been a statement that said in effect, or I would say flatly, that we are doing these things because we live in a society among people who live in, support, and maintain a system that makes it necessary. You say you recognize it. Nobody in the city has taken there is no official city position that communicates this to the public.
And the very reason that there is no official position is because you would get defeated at the polls if you did. And that only substantiates the fact that the citizens of this city and all over the country live in, support, and maintain a society that prevents you from doing it. We are at a point in time where it requires simple honesty, the simple kind of honesty that the President's Commission's report turned in. People are going to have to be jolted with this thing. They're going to have to be told the simple truth. We live, the only reason that we got all of this, I won't say crap, is because something else makes it necessary. My quarrel with this and my quarrel last week with the city manager's statement is because you refuse to identify that something else. You keep nibbling around the edges, calling it this, calling it that, these poor people. But no one, this thing, the report in the paper, studiously avoided any mention of the word racism. Not once. And these reams of paper that I read this morning, was the word mentioned once. You've got to say it to the public as a backdrop for the rest of this stuff that we're doing. And until that's done, we're not even ready to start to work on it.
Ernie, John, and Leon.
I want to make one point, Carol, something that I'm afraid may have gone unnoticed. Mr. Dent offered a situation that happened to this gentleman who was arrested. And I suppose, in a good conscience, he was just in a way of comparison to some of the problems that were being raised here this morning. And the case I think that is important to note is that this gentleman was able to call Mr. Dent.
Anybody can call Mr. Dent. We don't have to worry about that. John?
Well, I just wanted to reinforce what Tom said, and this is what we started off originally this morning, and everybody seemed to have gotten off, white dialoguers seemed to have missed the point that Tom brought up, and I wanted to just reinforce his thinking, and this is the way we perceive it, this is the way we see it, and that they must see it in that sense, and this is why we suggested that not one city official has taken a leadership in admitting that the President's report, the Commission's report, was valid and that this existed in San Diego, but rather we are reacting to the report with hopefully positive things instead of saying, well, in San Diego, this is the same situation existing as it is reported in the Commission's report.
And before you do, it may not be necessary, the John point there has been voiced several times this week with regard to the report. He does say that he agrees that the number one problem is so-and-so. His point and Tom's point is that it was not spelled out in those words.
Well, the only point I would make is that the President's Commission, among other things, said that cities had to do a number of items. Included among those items was to let the people know what would happen in the event of violence and riots and demonstrations and otherwise. The Commission was very careful to point out that we live, I hope, in a rule of law. Included in that rule of law is to put limits upon police power. You put limits upon police power by spelling out in an ordinance what action is going to be taken. I brought forward an ordinance which implemented the President's Commission report, even before the report came out, because I know there's a gap in this area here. We ought to fill it. As I said before, a bullet is a non-discriminatory weapon, and certainly fire doesn't recognize race or color. But that ordinance did come out, and I lack sensitivity apparently on this thing. I conceded, but it came out, and everybody raised hell about it. And yet we sought to implement the President's Commission report even before it came out. Now there's an interesting perception for you.
Maybe we ought to talk to that in a minute. Fred?
I think Tom explained primarily what I wanted to say to this group, but I think before we even get to thinking about what this being a racist society, because I know this is and everybody else recognizes now, and I think many people are willing to state it because the President's Commission has said, come out at one time now and say that we are living in a racist society. But the fact that I would like to do and hope that people can understand, or city government, is that this system was
born and conditioned by a white government. I mean, this thing has been made this way. And for them to come to the black people and keep dialoguing with them in hopes of finding out what the solutions are to these problems, to me is ridiculous. If they want to, if the city government, who governs all the people, or the federal government, or any government, state, federal, local government, wants to erase this problem, they have all the tools, all the mechanics, and all ability to do it. From what we are told ordinarily, that the education system is better than the Negro system or the black man system. They are well aware of the problem. They know what the system is. They can erase this system. So we're really sitting here saying, when are you going to do it? That's all. Because it's out of our hands, really. We have no real power of doing it. It is the government that really has the ability and the mechanics to do it. And there's no reason why we should have to sit here consistently telling them what problems exist in our neighborhood. I really believe that in each instance where there have been problems in other societies, in other neighborhoods, these problems were erased and taken care of quickly. I think it's a simple thing to just get up and say, well, there is a problem. The eyesore right off the bat is in a ghetto area. This in itself is a problem. Why in every city in America there is a ghetto that reflects on the image of that city. What we have to do today is the city for government has to change this image. That's all. You have to change and give every individual an opportunity to achieve. That's all. These young kids that I work with every day have to get an idea that they can achieve unless the city fathers realize that they are somewhat holding down a group of individuals, a group of young kids, from becoming useful contributors to the society of our country. They are not reaching the point. We can sit here and talk about this all along. But in Southeast San Diego, the Mexican Americans and the black kids in that community have no idea of what city government is like, honestly. Or they have no idea of who they can approach, who they can go to, and how this thing can become about. They have to start changing the image to make Negro and black kids realize that they can achieve, that they can go along in society and contribute equally, that they can get the opportunity to become a councilman like Mr. Schaefer, that they can get the opportunity to become chief of police or community relations. We've got to make it change the image of America today. That's the whole thing of racism, and I think the mechanics in the city government have every opportunity to do it today without a lot of dialogue, without a lot of talk with the black community, but to know that they are the responsibility of this. They are governing all the people, not one people, and as Tom says, there's only one way that they can look at this, and that is honesty. That's the simple. I mean, just be honest and be truthful and understand what you are doing in your job. If you're doing your job properly, you'll help me. But if you're not doing your job properly and only helping a certain portion of your problem, then we're going to consistently have problems. But do your job properly, every councilman, every city government, and I'm sure that you'll find that the young kids in this society will eventually change this thing. And if you don't do it that way, they're going to change it anyway. And this is not a threat. It's a fact that you've given these kids somewhat a chance to get some education, and now they demand to have a chance to use this education and become a part of your society. That's all.
At the chance of cutting off some who would want to speak at that point, looking at the agenda, some of the items start out, and I think we ought to take one and bring it down to what is being done. From the frame of reference of racism, previously defined, being the basic problem, what present plans and timetables does the city manager have for implementing at the level of practice the policy statement and the subsequent letters relating to that? That's a kind of, again, spelling out what keeps coming up here. So after Leon and then Glenn over here, let's see, this Glenn, then we'll get down and ask Mano if he will give us, Mr. Wilhelm, some kind of indication on a specific.
Yes, you give me a copy of the agenda so I can see what you're talking about.
Carol, I had we've sort of skirted back forth the thing that we started with, that is the racism, and how are we going to deal with that problem? And Tom mentioned something which seemed to me we might discuss in this dialogue. The reason that elected officials don't take stands, even if they understand, maybe is because they think they'll be defeated. So why don't we talk at one time about what the significance of this is? What kind of an educational campaign can be mounted which might result in sufficient education to the community at large so that people won't be defeated if they take a stand, when they take a stand? Is that an appropriate area for this dialogue to discuss? Why are public officials afraid to be honest?
Yes.
And if they're afraid to be honest because the general community is dishonest, then why don't we aim our guns at putting more honesty into the general community so that all of us can be more honest?
That's a loaded question.
Well, of course, this is what we're talking about. You can't say the truth about the racial problem because you will be defeated.
And who says so?
Well, this is what Tom said.
Well, I don't know the Tom. When were you
well,
said
well,
I'm an authority.
I wanted to put the issue and Tom became the fall guy.
You got five elected guys here. Ask them. Let's see if they're afraid. You
got six now.
Just came in.
Then, but before we do that, I think it is an appropriate item since you brought it up. Maybe we should refer that to the agenda committee so that we can get it properly worded and handle that directly. Glenn?
Well, a couple of things, Carol. First of all, back to the point which Tom Johnson raised. This is the report which the city manager gave, and Tom said they were skirting the issue of racism. I read this, and there is in the first paragraph of introduction no mention of that subject. It says urban crisis, which I submit to you is a euphemism for what we're really talking about. And that furthermore, this report given today is the reason why I'm saying it, that somehow if you are sensitive, you've missed the boat again, because this report, like others, should have come here. You missed the boat because if you were so concerned to get an ordinance written before that report was out, why didn't you bring it here first? Because we would have helped you with it. I believe in law, too. And I believe that we could have written collectively a better thing than was written. And I think the timing could have been better, and the preparation could have been better, and here is the vehicle for it. And I'm saying there's a place, if you're sensitive, to come, and this is the place. The other thing is that I don't want to put you on the spot, but I don't want to offer a challenge, so to speak, to any elected public official, that he voluntarily, apart from his office as elected official, become the chairman of a war committee, WAR, White Against Racism. And you get together all the white power structure here in your organization and demonstrate that you, in the white community, are going to make a real war against racism in San Diego. That a public official is taking leadership in that and pulling together the biggest amount of power in this town that you can muster to show that the white community is going to do it. But that's what the problem is, and acknowledge it. That it's white racism that's the real problem that's generating the other problem, which is a response to it. And if you really are sensitive to it, here is something you can do all on your own. You don't have to jeopardize your office. Do it collectively, outside. Just say, fellas, Ed Butler is now having a meeting. It's going to be down in Mission Valley. And all of you big guys come. It's a war committee. It's a voice against racism.
I mean, that's a good idea. I think
that's a specific thing about what we've been kept talking about all morning. I think that is a beautiful idea.
Mike's up for election. Let him do it.
Glenn Coblen.
It's the point that I wanted to raise.
Thank you, George.
The point that I wanted to raise is tied in with the point that Glenn is making now and what he has made previously about the lack of sensitivity and so forth. What we do is come here and react to what has been done in the city council or what has been done in the city manager's office. Now, the question should be considered of who is on the agenda committee. The agenda committee is drawn up, and we come here And then frequently we forget the agenda because we are reacting to things that have happened that we had no prior knowledge was going to happen. So is it logical, would it be logical, for instance, to have on the agenda committee someone from the city manager's office and someone from the council's office, so when they are meeting together to discuss the agenda, there would be the opportunity for things like this to be placed on the agenda and could logically come in for discussion here, rather than we get something like this as an after effect, and the only thing that we can do is react to it instead of initially act to try to influence. Should there be some re-evaluation examination of the agenda committee so that possibly these people have an opportunity to get these things on the agenda before the fact rather than after the fact?
I think that's an excellent idea. I hope everyone understood what he said. This report, therefore, would have been brought to the attention of the agenda committee early in its making, and therefore the committee could have taken some action, and we would be acting instead of reacting. At the next agenda meeting, we will take that up in the agenda committee meeting itself and see if we can't do something about it. Sounds like to me it may be one of the things that can be done.
I don't say that it would have been brought in, but at least the vehicle would have been provided by which it could have been done.
Right.
Then, if it were not, you would have a more legitimate right because it was not ever submitted. The same action, based on what the council was proposing to do to give the city manager extraordinary powers, that could have been considered by the agenda committee. It could have been looked at here, and some of the actions that were taken after the meeting was held could have been taken beforehand.
All right. I think that will be taken up at the agenda committee. Leon?
I'd like to say just one little thing. Mary talked with me about making this report when she was in the process, and she had a very short time. And I had the impression that it was just information, it was kind of a survey of what was going on. And I didn't have the impression that she was trying to say that this is what the city is doing, or any other thing. But this is a survey of the activities that have gone on in the community. This was my impression when she called me about it.
Yes, when I first started out and mentioned the report and gave them out, I was trying to say that. My reading of it and my talking with Julian, for example, confirmed this was a survey of programs going on by many different agencies, many different groups, as opposed to what is really bugging many that are here this morning, which is really a separate issue and is the issue that we keep talking to. But Mayor might want to speak to that.
Let me speak to it. It was prepared in a week. It was prepared with consultation with a number of the agencies who are listed there. Most of them, not all of them, because of the time involved. It was an attempt to try to put together in one place an inventory because that information is hopelessly lacking in this county, in this city. In one place where someone can get some information on what is going on, what is this program? And that's what an attempt, that's what we can do.
Now, I hear
a program that went on in our office. You did not call our office. We were the initiator. We were the prime mover.
George Simpson with the city was active in working with you. That
George, who? We cannot act for an entire community. We're 1,000 a man hours. At the most he put out there, I would say, is 10 hours. Now, this is another agreement. If you want to find out something, why don't you go to the people that are involved that can tell you?
Is there incorrect information in this report?
Yes, it is.
Then I'd be happy to know what
it is. So, am I hearing something else that, Mayor, there was a timetable on this that was urgent or something?
It's 1 week.
Yeah, it's in the papers today. It's my fun. It's in the papers this morning.
What was your speech going to be in the paper tomorrow morning?
You don't understand. Tom, what, you don't either. You know, what is going on?
Yeah, well, what triggered this sudden interest in releasing it to the news,
right,
the news media?
Well, because any kind of report that's prepared for the mayor and council is released from the media and becomes public information as soon as they get it.
Meredith's short program was finished last September.
And it's still in Washington awaiting, you know, very...
And you're just now releasing it as news?
No, they have news about it, but it's never been put together in one place. All the
time. I should have think after we finished the program and after we finally brought it before the city council, then this was the time for your office to come in and put it in the paper and perhaps do a story on the council. But it received nothing in the news media.
Mr. Hahn took all the credit for it.
Oh, no.
That's true. We had the newspaper clipping to prove it.
Right.
We have to lose
the bomb took all the credit for
and
that.
Our counsel was not worried once at all. Not mentioned once at all. Until we called them and made a correction on it.
I think this report mentions the activities of CAC and the contributions of
CAC. Mr. Chairman, I called for the order of the day. I think you had a reaction from the city manager's office.
Mr. Maynard was about to do so then. Mr. Wentville has it.
Well, reacting to the business on the CHIRP program, I do not have the so-called newspaper clippings. It's had a tremendous amount of publicity, and we've had a many number of man-hours of people working with the community organization on CHIRP. Kimball Moore, George, and all of the people in the organization. I don't quite understand what the criticism is. This is not the first time, and again, this is an inventory. I think Glenn has also missed and taken exception to the report itself. We have a responsibility in the manager's office to report to the city council on items that of this type and of this nature, and this is an attempt, as Mary pointed out, to be in the inventory, I think, as Mr. Hahn said earlier this morning, of the programs that are going on. Mr. Hahn's not trying to take any credit for at all for these kinds of things. This is a normal way that we're putting reports out, and this is the way that our council expects this, that the news media expects it. It's not an attempt to sugarcoat or say there is or is not racism at all. Now,
it didn't say it.
Well,
right.
It's a report. It's a report of the programs that are going
may
on.
May I get back here kind of on the right frequency?
Can I get back to this item then when you give me a chance?
There's an item there that refers specifically to the city manager's office, and could you react to that item?
Me or somebody
yes,
else?
Yes, you.
Fine.
Would you read it, please, because most of us do not have copies of the agenda.
Well, this is the first I've read also. From the frame of reference of racism, in parentheses, previously defined, end parentheses, being the basic problem, what present time plans and timetables does the city manager have for implementing at the level of practice the policy statement number 000-12 and subsequent letters given to all city employees? As to the point of racism and admission of racism, I think Ed Butler stated very succinctly the same impression I've had or perception at the very first meeting. There was an acknowledgement, and what do we do to proceed? Now, so far, apparently we stubbed our toe every time, because every attempt we've made to try outside of this area, because I thought we were to sit here and listen to these problems, I've heard them many times, tried to attempt to resolve them. It seems each time the thing we do to resolve is not quite right. So we're learning, and maybe one of these days we'll learn correctly. As to a timetable, there is not on paper at this point a specific timetable. I reported the kinds of things we've tried to do in the last meeting, which was the letters that went out to employees, the series of department head meetings concerning employment. Now there is another report went out yesterday and apparently didn't get challenged this morning, so I don't know, and I don't have a copy, and I'm sorry I don't. But it has to do with employment, and it has to do with the youth employment program for the next summer. If you recall, last year the city operated in the area of the NYC and had an additional supplemental youth employment program. This additional program hit the level, income family level, above $3,500.
Above NYC level, you said?
That's right. Last year, there was criticism because It would not fit within the civil service system. We used an intern classification. This year we are proceeding with a different tack, that tack being of creating or of utilizing a nonprofit corporation, transferring money to the nonprofit corporation to have our own NYC program, whatever we call it, San Diego Youth Group, working in the same general areas, but trying to learn something that we, trying to experience something we learned last year, and that's to also give a little more training to the program so that the young people, not necessarily high school age, and there is another limitation that we removed, but trying to give some training, encourage industry so that these young people, as they have a job experience, have an opportunity to move into a city position that is not a terminal position, or move into industry. Now, I could go on and explain this a lot more in depth. I'm sure it excited a lot of questions. A barrage of objection, but we're trying to work in this direction. It'll take me maybe an hour to work out the whole program. That is one plan and program that's underway in the area of employment. The idea is broadening employment, getting more people there, getting more people that can then move in to positions within the city. I know that Bud can speak to Bud Biggie to the things that are happening in the personnel department. The questions have been raised about our procedures of examination and how we should administer examination, these kinds of things. Things are going on in that area. I'd rather let him speak to that than me, though. But I don't know if this answers your question. Frankly, I would rather have had more than about 10 minutes to think about it, because I probably have overlooked things that should have been covered in this area.
Would you read, who has an agenda in front of him, besides you, Mayor? Would you read that item again, please?
From the frame of reference of racism, meaning the basic problem, what present plans and timetables does the city manager have for implementing at the level of practice the policy statement 000-12, subsequent letters given to all city employees? I might add one other thing. I feel also the sense that I am pushed into a defensive position, therefore I do not want to answer questions because I don't want to be defensive. I question some of the things that have been said this morning. I don't think some of the statements are correct. But then I become argumentative, and I'm trying to learn and control myself to the point that I take this back to the place and see if we can get the answer, get the correction at the root of the answer. I disagree with some of the things Tom says. I'd like to sit and debate him. Maybe afterwards we can debate. But they're being said, so there's a problem. Something's wrong. So now what I'm making notes here, let's go back and see what the problem is. I know that it's been stated over and over again, but it's in being solved because it's still the problem. I recognize this.
Right.
I don't know if this is acceptable.
That's a real excellent point he just made. Though. You see, that confirms what I said. We all look alike. You understand now, we all have the same name. We're all Toms. I'm just glad we're not all Uncle Toms. George. But anyway, that just supports
right,
that.
May
point.
I
all look alike.
I looked up at the clock. It's already time to start closing out there. Two of the other items I must mention. Tom left me a note, said he had to go. I've got to go, he put it. But read for him. Record me as registering the policy statement as being meaningless and a complete evasion of the problem. He wanted that read, so I have to read it. We are going to run out of time. There are two other items. I'd like to recap one thing this morning, which I, as you know, do not do. But I think we talked about two separate things, really. We talked about the report as a kickoff. That was our focal point. The report of the city manager's office, it was intended for one thing, from what I gather, as opposed to what I really heard coming out on the other side, namely that there should have been then another report that should have started out with an admission that San Diego was also included in the president's commission's report, that San Diego is a racist society, and that's the problem. That's what I heard from those who were speaking to it, and that is the problem we should be addressing ourselves to in terms of what we're going to do about that problem in San Diego. The other reactions are to this report, which to me still is in a different category. I have two notes here in front of me, one from Bob Richards, wanted to make a statement, if it's still appropriate, don't know. And then I'll get to the two other items, if you will stick with us here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if I'll change in the mood of this meeting to say something positive to this group. As director of the South Healthful Neighborhood Leadership Program, in charge of that present responsibility this morning, as most of us here will recall, some months ago, this program was threatened with being phased out because a decision was taken at sort of ultra-high government levels not to place funds for new career programs in San Diego. Now, this decision has been reversed, and it is my considered opinion that it has been reversed as a direct result of the pressure that was put on Washington, on administration in Washington, by members of this community. On behalf of my board of directors, and I have my vice president of my board here, Mr. Hank Wilson, and on behalf of my staff and the enrollees in my program, I would like to pay special credit to everyone who was involved. I would also like to say that the mayor and the city council did a fantastic job in getting this allocation. So did the members of the Board of Supervisors, our legislatures, the state and the congressional level, and while just a fantastic number of white people who really rallied around the black cause. And thank you all very much.
Thank you, Bob.
General, I think most of that credit goes to Mayor Kern with his excellent rapport he has with Vice President Humphrey and with Vice President Humphrey's administrative aide. The mayor talked to these people on the phone, sent them telegrams, and as a political leader of the community, I appreciate his efforts.
And I think we should have some record of this in the press, because I noticed in the press releases, and I suppose I have to say, my friend here, that there's just not enough credit was given by the press to our legislators and to executives in various agencies who really put a lot of effort and energy into getting this job done.
All right, we have three other items all together. I see Bob Sessions' hand up, and then the vice chairman here, and then I'll conclude with one other item. Bob?
I was just going to say that because of my profession, sometimes I put undue importance on words and labels, but I would like to suggest that it might be advisable at a later meeting we define what we mean by racism.
We have an accepted definition here. I'll give it to you.
It hasn't been too many years ago that this was confined merely to the southern part of our country, and I think maybe in too many people's minds this is associated with the extreme form when there are subtleties. Has this been done at an early meeting?
Yes, let me recap in a hurry for you. It took us three sessions, literally, and we were spending 3 hours then, as you might recall.
Almost
3 months, to decide what we were going to talk about and a definition here. And at that point, we were almost divided, and some said we're going to leave, and we said, no, stay. But that was the beauty of what we were doing at that time. We struggled through to get a definition of racism, and here's what it means officially to those here, as you recall. And we took time to work it up on the board here. Racism, to us, means accepting the normalcy of racial discrimination. Accepting the normalcy of racial discrimination. That was worked out here with everyone. And the breakthrough came, and I think this is a compliment to the mayor. The breakthrough came when the mayor, for example, hit on the table, used some rather strong words there, and said, yes, I know the problem is racism, we all know it's racism, and then I might add, he said, would we define the one to say we're not doing anything about it? The point is, that was a breakthrough emotionally. So we have accepted that as the definition here, though we don't always articulate it at each session. But that, when we went through for 3 months, what that means. We had the big chart at that time. And we went through to try to get it off the dime in terms of an accepted definition. That was the definition hammered out here for 3 months as we sat around this table. So your
in
point is
other words, that it's not just, in most people's minds, not restricted to just beatings, lynching, but it can be involved words.
But no, we're not saying that. We're not saying that what it is in most people's minds. We can't say that. The fact is that in most people's minds, they don't know what racism is. They had no idea. Most people would deny they're racist. Most people deny they support it, as Tom said. What we've tried to do here is establish the basis that that is a problem, as perceived by this community here. And literally, that report that we've been talking about all morning spelled it out. We might have been a first in San Diego to start out with that. We could have written that report for them, I suspect, because they spelled out exactly what we've been saying. Two other items. Rapidly. We didn't cover all the agenda items, but the mayor is here. I'd like to know if he would respond in a word or two to that. First, I don't know whether you have the agenda. It says current status of the committee. You got one there? Would you respond to that, Mayor, and briefly if you wish?
Yeah, number one, I thought that was cleared up the last time, and I said I thought that the people here generally agreed that there was no point in starting another committee to investigate a committee to start a committee when Bob Dent had already agreed to do this on a county basis and we'd cooperate with him. So at that point, I dropped it. I thought that was agreed. If not, I'm missing in my communication.
Mr. Chairman, the only report that we received was from the county. We never received a report from the city. Now, if this was a coalition, then it's been clear. I think the report that you were referring to, maybe I'm wrong, was that from the city manager's office or the mayor's office, that this whole business of civil service in this whole area would be...
And the city.
And the city, yes, would be spelled out, and that if there were any adjustments to be made, which came about by... In all the offices here, in the receptions and all, I think I made the statement that they all live at night. Now, somewhere along the line, somebody, some black girl, a Mexican-American girl, can answer a telephone and say, use a man's house. And this had not been done from the city. When it came back, it wasn't, we got Mr. Dent's report, but we didn't get the one from the city. I think it's what you're referring to, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Certainly, communications have broken down on this one, and this telephone doesn't have two ends. The one that I'm referring to was the discussions we had here in which we were talking about the techniques involved in screening applications for city or any other civil service, and whether there should be a study or at least an evaluation of modern and new techniques of screening had nothing to do with an analysis of civil service reporting here. That's not... You want that? Mrs. Waite can give you that. What I suggested at that time was that we get into the field and talk to the people in the psychology departments or other areas and find out whether there are new techniques that might be employed. Subsequent to that, Mr. Dent came in with a report that he was setting up a committee to do something very similar, and I said at the last meeting here, there's no point in having committees on top of committees. Forget mine, we'll work with him. We'll turn this problem over to Mr. Dent's committee. That's all I'm suggesting.
Mr. Dent?
We would be very happy in the county to work with the city and work it out the same way. Now, we have, I presume, our regulations in civil service are similar, and we'll have similar problems in certain areas. Now, I do have a little report here from our committee, which I don't think we have time to go into, but basically this is what it gives, and it gives how many people have made applications at our county for jobs, and how many of them passed, and how many of them didn't pass, and the different classifications, and then the intermediate clerk typist shows that 37 made applications and five of them passed, and these are Negroes. And in other areas, it shows a disparity here and shows something that we need to clear up. And for instance, in labor, 76 Negroes made applications, and only 8 of them passed the written examination. Now, these are the kind of things we want to get into, and because we know out of 76, there's certainly a great majority of them are qualified to do labor, but they fail the written examination. These are the things we want to dig into. And we have them in different classifications. We haven't broken down into Negro, and we haven't broken down into Oriental groups and into the Caucasian groups, and showing how each one of them compares with the other. Now, the big thing that I see, now this only shows how they pass. It doesn't show how they're hired. And this is the field where we need to work with our department heads and say, this is our policy, what are you doing about it? I think we can come up with, of course, the law doesn't allow us to do a lot of things we'd like to do, but we do have this report which has been made, and to the mayor, we'll certainly dovetail our work in together, and as I read the papers, the city is doing very much the same thing that we're doing. And as if I read them, they are doing these things, they are working on it. And I only want to say one or two other things while I'm talking now. Be quiet. There's been a good deal of publicity in the paper regarding the role of the county supervisors in the War on Poverty program. Now, it may seem that the supervisors are anxious to take over the running of the anti-poverty program. But this is only following the amendments which was placed on the books. We must make a declaration by the 15th of this month of our intention is what we're going to do. And then by the 15th of May, we have an opportunity during this time to modify or say, well, we don't want to get into it at all. We don't get into it, and if the city doesn't want to take it, then the state takes it, and if the state doesn't want to take it, then the OEO program themselves can run the program. We can delegate the authority. There's many things that we can do. And I think that the county could get involved in this program a little more than they are involved, and could have a stronger program. Now, many of the things that the city reports on here are anti-poverty programs, and they merely reported what's going on in the community, and I think they should include all programs. And we have had a study made of the anti-poverty program. We just got the report in a couple of weeks ago, and tomorrow we'll spend all day up at the university going through this program. And the report shows that there's a great deal to be desired in the what's being done for the poor people in this program. And I think that we need to strengthen it. We need, if the county gets into it, it's only for the purpose of strengthening the program and not for tearing it apart. We've got to have the same committee we have, and we need to change we only have four in this committee that represent government. We have two supervisors and two councilmen. And it says there should be a third of the committee. Should be from government. A third should represent the poor, and a third should represent the community at large. And the committee should be limited to 51, and this would be 17 from each. Now, our committee is all out of balance, and I think we need to strengthen it. And these programs are Community Action Council. We have 13 of them in the county that cost us $313,000. The job they're supposed to do is the things we're talking about here today. They're supposed to do all those things, but we don't find them accomplishing too much. I think they could, with some strength put in behind them, with some skilled people in the program, that more can be done. This is what I, as I see it. And we will be all day tomorrow discussing this out at the university. But I didn't want people to get the idea that the county saying, well, we're going to we're going to take this thing over and we're going to tear it all to pieces and do away with it, or we're going to do something else. We can't do it if we wanted to, and we don't want to.
Thank you for your report. Before we introduce Mr. Clarence McGee from the President's Youth Council.
Carol, I think the mayor was standing.
Yes, before we introduce him, Mayor, you were going to react again, as.
I guess I didn't understand our first conversation, because I thought it was more inclusive than just an inventory of what was going on in any department. I thought it was supposed to lay the groundwork for at least an evaluation of whether or not the kind of systems that we're all using, whether it's a private industry or a city government or county or whatever, whether these kind of screening systems are adequate to meet the present needs. And I thought that was the basis of it. True, we'd have to know the kind of results of recent civil service examinations, for instance, in order to come up with some thoughts on the subject. But I thought it was more inclusive than just taking an inventory.
I think
then. An inventory, then what the heck? Mrs. Wake can give you that. She can give you all the numbers of people who employed and why or where not, and how many took the exam. That's statistical. But I thought this other would be much more imaginative if we go out and take a look.
Right.
At the concept of the whole business
right.
Screening.
Right. Yes. Bill?
There's been much discussion in these groups about the lack of sensitivity or lack of sensitivity the city has. And a few weeks ago, a group of Mexican-American parents from the San Ysidro O'Tire, well, actually all over, came in and asked the city for some services. Now, this was number four on the agenda. This was number four on the agenda, and asked for some of these, and the mayor had indicated that he was to meet with these, and Tom Hamm was going to meet with these people in regards to the specific things that they asked. And these were bilingual counselors, bilingual staff at the employment service, bilingual nurses, lack of recreation facilities, lack of adequate street lights, and so forth. And I have been told that the mayor has met with these people, and we would like some type of report or some feedback from the mayor on what is being done on the plea of these people on what they have been asking for, these Mexican Americans in this area.
Well, nothing else. I had a very enjoyable lunch. Went over and had a little luncheon right after the last session was out. Several interesting things came out of the discussion, and one of them, of course, was that, as was previously reported here, some avowed deficiencies in the lighting system in the South San Diego area of Otay. Not Otay, but San Diego. So we assigned Mr. Art Davis, the intern trainee working in my office, to check this out with the city engineering office, and I think the committee turned in a deficiency of 12 different locations. I think it was 12 lights that were turned in as being missing or deficient. We did an actual study on it and came up with the fact that they were partially right, partially wrong, and we found some they didn't come up with this report. And this letter was sent to Mr. Cottrell, I think, a couple days ago. But on Cottrell, Interstate 5, two lights exist that are four, which are 400 feet apart. The distance requirements for our criteria is 850, so there's no involvement here. We didn't have to put any new lights, at least the two that were checked out as being adequate. The vicinity of the post office on Olive Drive, the same situation, two lights, one on San Diego Boulevard, and another one 50 foot north of the post office on East Park and West Park Avenues, so on down the line. Then we get down to, these are the ones that were already in existence and did not have to be replaced. A light was installed at Serum Boat Hall in 1960, which was called our attention. It was missing, it was there. Lights exist at Mesa and Seaward, which would cause problem corners. Then the development of the intersection of Virginia and Louisiana Avenue and Front Street is not sufficient to necessitate the installation of lights in these locations. At the intersection of Sycamore Road, West Bolton Hall, and Frontage Road, Interstate 5, a light will be installed on the south side of the Frontage Road near the stable. Then the rest of these are lights that will be put in the quest to bring the community up to the normal standards that prevail in the rest of the city. San Ysidro Boulevard, The intersections of Smythe, Cottonwood, Elverell, Averell. And then one geographical hazard that exists on the hill between Averell and Averell. New light will be installed at the crest of the hill. Light will be installed at the intersection of the hill and East Fire Way. One at Birch and Hill. One at San Ysidro Boulevard and Sunset Lane on Averell, Averon. One light cannot be installed on a street called Pepper Drive because it's private property. It's not even a dedicated street. Now it shows it on the map. I don't know. We can't go in on private property to put in street lights. All of these have met the criteria both for illumination, the amount of illumination on the various lights, and the placement. And they will be placed, providing, however, that the committee will circulate a petition that advised on how to do this within the next week or so, where we get the signatures of the people immediately around. There is a requirement that those who live immediately adjacent to a light in the installation have the right to object. It's unlikely anybody will, but they have this right to circulate a petition. But that's what has been done on this part of the program. One of the other additional things that we found out in our discussion was inadequacy of transportation in relation to some of the people who live in this area that have not had a chance, for instance, to come into the center core of the city. I remember our conversation, somebody taking your survey of in your master's paper, you pointed out that one woman has lived down there 6 years and has never been downtown.
Right.
This doesn't seem credible to me, but I guess it is. You wouldn't have thought it. So as a result of this, we're trying to put together a package now of taking some of these, particularly the mother who can't get away normally during the daytime, make some provision to get them downtown in a facility to have them at least examine this place and see some of the places that they have indicated already as a prime concern to them. Their names, they have never seen them, La Jolla. They would like to see La Jolla. We'll try to make a day venture out of this and go out to La Jolla over to Mission Bay Park, Salvo Park, around the zoo. Give them at least an exposure to it, that there is another part of the city besides San
Francisco. May I ask specifically what's being done as far as recreation goes?
The recreational program, where they're checking the facilities now in relation to the requirement for that, for the equipment for that facility. And I haven't heard of it back then. There were quite a few deficiencies pointed out, or at least listed, and I haven't had a return from the department on that.
Can we make that an exchange program? I mean that seriously. I mean, exchange program, instead of just showing the ladies in San Ysidro how La Jolla looks, how about taking a group in La Jolla and showing them how San Ysidro looks in the exchange program? If you believe it's a two-way street, let's make it a two-way street. There are ladies up in La Jolla who've never seen San Ysidro down there. And I think the mayor put his weight behind to make an exchange program. If we're going to take a group here and match with a group there, I think it'll sell.
I wonder if I could talk with the mayor. It's not derogatory. for a moment. We had something happen at the university that I felt very bad about, which was the exclusion of it was a conference on nonviolence, and the Mexican American was excluded, who has practiced to date nonviolence, was excluded from the conference. But from there came the birth of an idea going on. And I have been this week talking to many Mexican-American women, and we have thought of putting a council of Mexican-American women's organizations and Latin American women's organizations. This is going to take money, and it's going to take time, and maybe you would be very interested in helping us in this, because this way we will have representation. The National Council of Jewish Women is having a conference, which the black women invited, good. YWCA are invited, wonderful. Everyone is invited. We have no representation at all. So we must have help in organizing this. I would be very interested in talking to you about this to see how we can be backed on this. The women will need money for their children to leave them with babysitters, or else we have to have childcare. They'll need money for transportation. They don't have it. We will have to use every kind of gentle encouragement to get these women to organize so we as a group can have a pressure group like other women have. And I would very much like to talk to him about this because I do think this is a constructive project.
Looking
and
at the
women are responding to it beautifully.
Look at the time, Mr. Chairman. This is in relation to the agenda. The reports here, and I think they're very positive, coming from Mr. Dent and the mayor, and this is the type of thing that we should follow up on to find out just what, are we dialoguing or something action. So here is the point of action here from two specifics that we'd add. Now, we've pointed up other Pacific, I hope that we can get specific positive action, mainly the police department.
Let's put it on the agenda, Joe.
Yeah, so I wanted to inform them that these things will come up as we don't just want to dialogue and don't think about it again, but we want reactions and another report from you as to the action taking place. And here's the two positive leads, and I think they did their homework in this. I want to say when it happens, I want to compliment it.
Right.
So let's move on in the same manner.
One more specific.
Put in parentheses, do not major in minor.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the problem where we run into it, you see.
One more specific.
Don't major in minor. We can always get a report on a minor issue.
Mm-hmm. Constant harassment by the office of the district attorney on the Queen Carter that has a tremendous effect on the Mexican-American community. This is another specific we should deal with.
All right. Now, I skipped Don over here a long time ago, and I just sit here and try to go in my mind as I usually do, who I missed before we get to the last man from Washington.
I wanted to say, I'm not going to offer any defense, and I've been in this position about a month. I have attempted to get around as many people as I can. I haven't apparently gotten to everyone. I'd like to invite, although I've been at some of your talks, George, come down and see me, or I can come out and see you.
It is true.
Albert, the same way you're gone. Unfortunately, I didn't get to make this to him. I have received no communications from you or Mr. Heiser or any of the other groups. I've been trying. All I can say is I'm willing to talk. I have to find the block of time. Bring it to my attention, I'll still find it.
I think we're assumed, Carol, and I think most of the young people did, that Lieutenant Colliner, since we had dialogued and talked and went through this for so long, that possibly part of this was already passed on. So maybe it's good, maybe on our part we should go into this all over again.
All right. There are two items. At the last session, the group authorized me to address a letter to Mr. Ed Brown, the chairman, the executive director of the Community Welfare Council, and also address another letter that would be passed out to all the agencies whose representatives sit here regarding the action taken against Mr. Glenn Allison, a dialoguer, as a person of this dialogue. Because the machine broke down, and because I started the letter and wanted to listen to it to be sure I didn't put Carol Wingman into it instead of the dialogue, I thought it better not to write that letter until I had a chance, after the machines were repaired, to write that letter. It has not been written, only a rough draft. I will write it when I can get to the minutes again to be sure I capture what was said. That's first. But in that regard, I received a letter here. It has to be read. Logan Heights Community Action Council, Area C. Dick Carroll, enclosed the copies of the protest petitions with 169 signatures that were sent to Reverend Harder, President of the Community Welfare Council, for the action taken by Mr. Edgar Brown in regards to Mr. Glenn Allison. Also enclosed are blank petitions for the dialogue members if they so desire to sign, signed by the Executive Secretary, Mr. Donald L. Logan, and that's Mr. Logan over here, who's here. On the next agenda, we will go through with whatever is being done here. Your chairman will follow through as authorized, and releases made to the press as also authorized. If it's not long, Glenn.
No, it's 1 second. I'm not sure whether you are aware of the newspaper report of yesterday, of the meeting of Wednesday, of the board of directors of the Community Welfare Council, where it was reported that unanimously they voted to uphold their director. Apparently no committee was appointed to examine this. I am not sure
how many people were there to constitute that unanimous...
I have all of that that will be put in a document.
Yes.
I have received three. There are some people here who know how many, and I can't say, but three, and because I have not yet documented, received it in writing, I will be receiving it in writing. They came to my office and suggested that something be done, and I prefer to do it in writing and making it official. All of that will be in the report brought back here. Finally, we have Mr. Clarence McGee here, sitting here, well-dressed, etc. We're going to close the meeting by asking him to say a few words and introduce his other person with him. Oh, before you do, please, 1 second. The parking ticket validation. Only persons invited as participants of this dialogue will have their parking tickets validated. The 20 cents, the 4 hours, 80 cents, or what have you, can be written off somehow, I suppose, by those who are able to do so. Unfortunately, only those tickets can be validated by those persons who are officially dialoguers. We don't have a list all this morning, though, of all those official dialoguers. I would suggest, rather than to put people in that kind of bind, it would seem fair to me to say, beginning next time, rather than to impose that this morning. Mr. McGee.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. First, I'd like to introduce Mr. Andy Gallegos. He's the President of Council on Youth Opportunities and therefore the Vice President's Consultant on Mexican-American Affairs, and he's traveling with me. And briefly, what our job is, we represent the President's Council on Youth Opportunities and his chairman, Vice President Humphrey, in helping cities, the 50 largest cities in the country. And our assignment is the West Coast. We render technical assistance and advice to the cities on how to set up a meaningful and successful youth opportunity program. And this afternoon, I believe, we'll be meeting with the group to discuss this very thing. And I hope many of you will come.
Where is the meeting?
Right here, I believe.
Is it open?
I think it's on the 9th. What's the other conference
here?
Is it here? Is it open, though, however? It may not be open to everyone.
It's just for the youth council, Carol.
Yeah.
Those who are members of the youth.
And before I finish, I just have to point out one thing. Vice President Humphrey has a great deal of respect and admiration for your mayor, Mayor Curran. And he talked to him at great length when Mr. Curran was in Washington. And this faith is, I see it, it's been renewed. And I have just left Los Angeles, and it's just like coming to the promised land. And this is one of the very few cities that I have been in where you have a mayor and representatives of the community and community organizations just sitting down and discussing things. You know, this is may not seem like much, but I tell you, it's tremendous. And the Vice President will be very pleased to see this. And all these communities that are at loggerheads and can't get anywhere, the main problem is communication. You know, they won't even get together. They'll never catch them in a room. And I'm just so very pleased. I'd like to congratulate you just on this very thing. No matter what your disagreements may be on where you stand and your positions, the fact that you're here means a great deal. And out of such meetings as this will come successful youth programs. And it's the best way to deal with any problems you may have. Glad to see it.
Did you want to say hello to us? And goodbye, maybe? But
I'm not really a stranger to California. I'm from Southern California.
San Diego?
Not specifically. Down in Orange County.
San Diego.
But I've always had a great deal of... I have many friends in San Diego, and I'm sure many of you know Mr. Rodriguez, who's one of our big men in education in Washington. He and I are personal friends, and he asked me to extend greetings to all his friends that I don't know here in San Diego. So I hope you receive his greetings anyway. If we can help, and specifically myself, among the Mexican Americans, we have very special problems in language. That's what I'm here for, and I'm on the President's Council for this reason. We want the Mexican American community to know this and to use us, because their voice is being heard in Washington. People are paying attention. We are part of America.
May I thank both of you for spending this time with us. We invite you back in this way. See you in 2 weeks here. Bye.